Everybody has a perception of in their minds of who Jesus is. And that perception has probably been influenced by our culture and our own assumptions and maybe some bad teaching that we've gotten. So it's easy to wind up with this distorted view of Jesus. So today we come to the place where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." It's hard for us to connect with that because, well, as far as I know, I mean, maybe you are, but most of us don't actually know a shepherd. I don't, personally. Let me kind of back up here and take you, we're going to take a look at this passage and kind of backtrack a little bit to sort of pull us back into the first century Middle Eastern culture. So the world at that time was very sheep dependent. They used sheep for wool, they used sheep for meat. So there were sheep everywhere, all over the place, and sheep had a reputation for not being very smart, for being stubborn, and the world could be a dangerous place for a sheep. There were rocky places all over the place, and their footing was kind of sketchy for them to walk around. And if the shepherd wasn't being vigilant, then the sheep could wander off and become lamb chops. So, you know, for all those reasons, sheep needed shepherds to guide them, to protect them, and to feed them. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would admit that we need the same thing. In fact, the Bible often compares us to sheep. So God probably looks at us like we're cuddly and adorable, like sheep, right? No, it means that we're dumb, we're stubborn, and we don't know where we're going. And this passage is basically saying, "I am the shepherd you need." For some of you, life has been really hard recently. And you're starting to realize that you need something or someone that you don't have. And today, some of you are going to hear Jesus calling you to follow him for the first time. And this is an important moment for you. There's others of you sitting here today. You would say that you're following Jesus, but your life is kind of a mess right now. Because the reality is, there are other shepherds that you're following much more than you're following him. This is an important moment for you too. So let's read the passage. We're in John chapter 10, and we're going to go all the way to verse 30. "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, if anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then the festival of dedication at Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So first this morning, let's talk about the shepherd's care. So first off, he knows us. In verse 1, Jesus talks about a sheep pen where these sheep are kept. So back in the first century, if you walked through a town, you would see these sheep enclosures. Should have a picture up there of a sheep enclosure, what it might have looked like, where the sheep were kept. And it was common to see like the flocks of several different sheep sharing one pen. So the shepherd would take his flock out to graze during the day, and then he would sort of rent space at night in this pen. So when the shepherd came in the morning, he would call to his sheep. And all the other sheep that weren't his, they would basically just ignore him. Right? So I came across this really cool story from this seminary professor back when he was in youth ministry. One of the families in the church had a farm, and they invited him out to the farm. And so the guy who owned the farm, he said, "Hey, could you help me call my sheep in?" He looked over the fence and he sees like 25 sheep out there in the pasture. So he says, what do I say? And the farmer says, "Well, I just say, hey, sheep, come on in." So he turned towards the sheep and he says, "Hey, sheep, come on in." Farmer says, "Those sheep are 75 yards away. You're going to have to say it louder than that." So he yells it this time. He's like, "Hey, sheep, come on in." They didn't even budge. Matter of fact, they didn't even look at him. So the farmer says, "Do they even teach you the Bible in that seminary? Haven't you heard? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." And then the farmer said very calmly, "Hey, sheep, come on in." All 25 sheep turned and walked toward him. And that young pastor never forgot that lesson. The true shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. It's a very personal relationship. Let me ask you something. How many voices are shouting at you in a typical week? I read an article that the average person sees between... Does anyone want to guess before I give you the number? 37 ads a week? Who said that? Okay, yeah, not even close. Anyone? Bob, what about you? What's a guess? How many ads do you think the average person sees in a week?
1,000.
Keep going up. Yeah, see, everybody settles at 1,000. 6,000 to 10,000 ads per day. That is crazy. Our society is just inundated with different voices pulling us in different directions all at the same time. And then think about the thousands of photos and images that you see. And it's teachers and politicians and newscasters and friends, bosses, coworkers. It's kind of crazy. And it can be confusing and it can be stressful. Wouldn't it be amazing if there were this one clear, true voice that rose above the others? So in the midst of the confusion, you could just go, "That's the voice I listen to. He knows me, and I follow him." That's what Jesus came to offer. Secondly, he leads us. In verse 4, it says that he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Now notice that the shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. He doesn't go behind them and push them forward. He goes ahead of them to lead by example. And if you study the life of Jesus, this is what you'll see. He lived a certain kind of life, and he invited people to follow in his footsteps. And over the last several years across the country, we've seen all of the wokeism going on. Politicians, entertainers, and even some spiritual leaders. People we admired and that we respected and we wanted to emulate. And it's a terrible thing to realize that someone you've been following is not who you thought they were. And over the last few years, there's been several people that I really admired. who crashed. What that does is remind us we all have the capacity to do stupid things. The Bible says pride goes before a fall. So staying humble is of the utmost importance. But it also makes me long for a leader that I can truly follow without any fear that they're going to crash and disappoint me. And that longing always leads me back to Jesus. Jesus has no dark side. He is the light of the world. So he is the leader who is most worthy of following. So he knows us, he leads us, but as the good shepherd, he also protects us. Look at verses 7 through 9. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Now, this can be kind of a confusing passage. Is Jesus the shepherd or is he the gate? It seems like he's confusing his metaphors. But let's look a little closer. Remember we talked about the sheep pens and where they kept the sheep at night. Well, when the weather was a little warmer, sometimes shepherds wouldn't bring their sheep back to town at night. Instead, they would keep them out in the fields. And when they did that, they used a different kind of pen. They would just kind of pile rocks in like a square or a circle with a little opening for a doorway. So there's a story about this Old Testament scholar, and he's traveling through the Middle East with a guide. And they come across this shepherd with his sheep, and they started talking with him. And the shepherd showed them where the pen was that he kept his sheep at night. And the shepherd said very proudly, "You know, when the sheep are in this pen, they are completely safe." So the guide says, "Well, there's no gate." The shepherd said, "I'm the gate." Now, keep in mind, this is not a Christian man quoting scripture from Jesus. This was an Arab shepherd, all right? The guide said, "Well, what do you mean you're the gate?" And he said, "When it gets dark and all the sheep are inside, I lie down across the opening. So if any sheep wants to get out, or if any predator wants to come in, they have to get through me. I'm the gate." The shepherd is the gate, which means he makes it his business to protect us. So does that mean if I follow Christ, I'll never get hurt? No, of course not. Everybody knows that's not true. So what does that mean? It means at least two things. First of all, nothing slips by him. When I'm following Christ, I know that anything that comes into my life is not random. It's not outside of his control. Whatever happens to me is at least allowed by Jesus, if not actually brought by him, for his purposes, but ultimately for my good. But it also means at the deepest level, I'm completely safe. My life, my soul, they're secure in the hands of Christ. No one can take that away. I could lose my money. I could lose my health. I could lose all the people that I love. But no one outside of myself can take away my relationship with Jesus Christ. So at the deepest level, I am completely protected. As I learn to believe that more deeply, the more free I am to take risks, to stop worrying, to truly live. So when Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, he meant that when we become his sheep, he knows us, he leads us, and he protects us. And as usual, his claims had a very polarizing effect on people. In verse 20, it says some of the people, not all of them, but some of them, thought that he was demon-possessed or raving mad. Does Jesus still polarize people today? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what this series is about, helping us to answer that question. Going back to the beginning when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that he is?" Some of you are struggling with that question. If you're being honest, you're not so sure. You look at this shepherd who said he knows us and he leads us and he protects us, but you might say, "You know what? That's just not really been my experience." So you're struggling with your faith and you're holding back. What could be the reason? Maybe it's his credentials. So let's look at that. Let's look at the shepherd's credentials. What gave Jesus the right to make the claims that he's making? Two things. First, his identity. If you were a Jewish person listening to this, Jesus say this stuff, you would immediately made some connections there. Because all through the Hebrew scriptures, God promised that a Messiah was coming. And several times he described that Messiah as, guess what? A shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 is a great example of this. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So when Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, most Jewish listeners realized he's not just calling himself another prophet. He's claiming to be the prophet, the promised one. Later in the passage, they just ask Jesus straight up. They say, if you're the Messiah, just tell us plainly. And Jesus, in his usual direct way, I did tell you, you don't believe me. In verse 30, Jesus goes a step further when he says, I and the Father are one. So he wasn't just claiming to be the Messiah. He was claiming to be God. Coming out of the lips of anyone else, that would have sounded crazy, but Jesus is not just anyone else. But his other credentials is just as important, his scars. The scars in his hands and his feet. Now, when Jesus spoke these words, he didn't have those scars yet. But as he often did, Jesus was pointing ahead to that central event in his life when he would go to the cross. Four times in that passage, he says that he is a shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And the reason he needed to do that was because we were in trouble. I believe the Christian faith is the only faith system or philosophy, if you will, that truly takes sin seriously. The world says, well, you know what? Sometimes we make mistakes, but people are basically good on the inside. Are you kidding me? Have you looked around lately? Jesus says, man, you're messed up. You're a sinner. That's why you get addicted to stuff. That's why you keep arguing with your spouse. That's why you struggle with anxiety. That's why you can't walk a straight path. Because sin is a reality. So Jesus didn't minimize or sugarcoat sin. He just called it what it was. And you go, that's kind of depressing. No wonder I don't want to go to church. It is kind of depressing. The fact that we're sinners and that God hates sin. It's actually kind of scary. But here's why it's not ultimately depressing. Jesus didn't just call out our sin. You're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. He didn't do that. He did something about it. He laid down his life for his sheep. He took what we deserve for our sin so we could be forgiven. And I just don't know of any other religion or philosophy that has such an accurate view of human darkness, but at the same time, it provides such a powerful path for human potential. The scars of Jesus make him truly unique. So based on those credentials, Jesus walked this earth and he called people to believe in him and to follow him. So let's talk about the shepherd's call. Now, the call of Jesus in your life will vary depending on where you are spiritually. So first, let's talk about the call for those already in his flock, for those of us who consider ourselves Christians. The biggest challenge for us is what it says in verse 4. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. And so my question for us Christians is, do we follow him? Do we hear his voice? I made this video. Oh, well, just listen.
They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Now, I made that video. It's our passage for this morning. How many of you honestly could say that you knew that? Okay, one. What he was saying, what the scripture was that he was reading. Like I said, I made it, and I can hear the voice, but I couldn't make out what he was saying. So here's my question for you, Christian. Whose voice do you hear? And you instantly recognize it, and you want to obey it. And it causes you to put everything else aside to follow that voice. Is it truly, truly the voice of Jesus? You know, sometimes the voice of Jesus is very comforting, right? You know, when he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And you go, yeah, I like that. Or when Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And you go, yeah, that makes me feel good. But there are other times when the voice of Jesus is very challenging and very countercultural. Like when he talks about hell. Or when he talks about divorce. When he talks about money or greed. And sometimes the voice of Jesus can make us uncomfortable. So honest question for us Christians. Whose voice do we recognize and want to follow? I know some Christians who seem to be more attuned to the voice of certain podcasters or media personalities than to the voice of Jesus Christ. I know some Christians who seem to be more attuned to the voice of Joel Osteen or Stephen Furtick than to the voice of Jesus Christ. And that's dangerous. Now, I'm not saying that everything those people say is wrong, but that is not the voice of the Good Shepherd. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And for us Christians, this is the biggest challenge. Let me ask you, this past week, how much time did you spend reading and meditating on Scripture compared to the amount of time you spent on social media or watching TV or your favorite sports programming? I'm not trying to guilt anyone here. I'm just saying that if we want to experience this shepherd who knows us and leads us and protects us, then we have to spend time with him and we have to listen. And then when you're listening to your favorite podcaster or media personality or Joel Osteen or Dave Fuller or whoever, and they say certain things and you go, yeah, that's consistent with the voice of Jesus. And when they say other things, you go, ah, no, something's a little off there. Get attuned to the voice of Christ. It's well worth the effort. And then some of you don't consider yourself a Christian. Well, guess what? This passage speaks to you too. So let's talk about the shepherd's call to those outside his flock. Look at what Jesus says in verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. This is the scripture that was just playing in the video. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. See, Jesus knew there would be a lot more people who didn't and don't believe in him yet. Who he wants in his flock. And notice what he doesn't say there. Jesus doesn't say, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I will wait right here for them to show up. He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? I must bring them also. He makes it his business to go out and find them and bring them in. So here's my question for you today. When you look at your life, do you hear the voice of Christ calling you and bringing you in? It's interesting because there's another place in the Gospels where Jesus told a parable about the same thing. It's in Luke 15. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You are very valuable to the shepherd. You would think the shepherd would be pretty happy with what he had, right? You know, I mean, listen, 99 out of 100 isn't bad, but he couldn't sleep. And he couldn't stop thinking about that one lost sheep. And his love for that one sheep drove him to go out and find him. Are you that lost sheep looking for a shepherd? And you wandered in here today. You've resisted God. You've tried to avoid him, but he's brought you here. And he's going to continue to remind you that the way that you're trying to make your life work without him, it's not going to work. That feeling of emptiness is because you don't have him. And he's going to continue to keep putting genuine Christians in your life to make you think. Above all the thousands of voices and messages that bombard you every day, if you will just listen, I think you'll hear that one clear voice rising above all the others, calling you home. If you are here today and you do not have that relationship with Jesus yet, if you are not part of his flock, then I would love to have a conversation with you about what that means. If you're here today and you want to be part of this flock, we want to invite you to place your membership with us here today if you feel that's the Lord's will for your life. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Dear Lord, we are hit with so many different things every day. Most of us didn't even realize the amount of information we consume every day and how it just pollutes our minds and our hearts and leads us away from that one true voice, Lord. Lord, I pray that for those searching or those who have already found you that maybe have begun to wander off, that you would bring them back into the fold. They would come back and join the others. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for everything that you do for our life and leading us and guiding us and protecting us every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.